Today, a day that will live in infamy, the words of President Roosevelt, the famous words of President Roosevelt on December 7th, 1941. Joining me now to talk about this day in the context of his latest book, War is a Lie, is David Swanson. David, how are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
All right, man. So your headline today at Democrats.com, and folks, I Facebooked and Twittered the article earlier. I'll redo it again, repost it so you can read it for yourselves. Pearl Harbor, a successful war lie. First of all, David, in general, give us the thesis for your piece, War is a Lie. In general, why is that? And explain that to us, if you would.
Well, the idea, of course, is not that wars don't exist.
But right, right.
That most of what people tell each other about wars is not true. That most of what our government tells us about wars is not true. What they tell us before the wars start to get them started, what they tell us to keep them going, what they tell us when we figure out that what they were telling us last week was a lie, what they tell us after the wars about the wars to make them look better for history, and so forth. And all of it combined justifies this incredible war machine that eats up over 50 cents of every tax dollar and is a huge force itself of pressure to produce more wars.
And actually, I mean, I doubt anybody would challenge you on that, because we see that most recently with what happened in Iraq, played out on the world stage, and what the Bush administration tried to do. But couldn't we add, though, David, well, I would ask you to add to that, the reason for that, that oftentimes the lie told to justify the war is really not what the war is all about in the first place.
Well, my contention is that that's always true.
Yeah,
Not just in the case of Iraq. Maybe Iraq was more obvious, the lies were more blatant, or there was a certain arrogance of not really even caring if we believed it, and sort of people came to realize the lies very quickly, and they focused above all on one particular lie that was very easily exposed. Not that a lot of us didn't know it already, but they said there's going to be weapons there, and then there weren't. And so there was a lot of thinking along the lines of, well, this is something new, a president lying to Americans about a war, never seen this before. And so, I mean, seriously, very intelligent people, very well-informed people claiming exactly that. And many people will go a step further and say, well, some wars are based on lies. Julian Assange of WikiLeaks fame today in his column in an Australian newspaper, I'm not anti-war. I like some wars. I don't like other wars. You know, well, my contention is that if you look closely enough at all of the wars, there's a problem with all of them, and we're being lied to about all of them. And so we can dismantle a good section of the machine that keeps them going.
So just it's interesting that Assange would say that, because if Assange perhaps were around in 1941, we would have been prepared for Iraq and that lie, because you're going to argue for us now and prove to us that December 7, 1941 was a lie.
Well, that's a very interesting idea. If WikiLeaks had been around, you know, because you know, in the 30s, in the lead up to World War II, we almost passed a constitutional amendment that would have required a public vote before they can take us to war.
Wow!
Instead, we had a vote for war in Congress the very next day after Pearl Harbor. No time for WikiLeaks to spread the news. You know, Pearl Harbor is not everything about it's not a lie, as people have been very adamantly telling me all day since I published this article. The Japanese really attacked Pearl Harbor. It really was an aggressive attack, an act of war, a crime. The Japanese were out for empire. The Japanese were committing war crimes in China for many years, etc. All of that's very true. The Japanese wanted war. what Americans aren't taught in elementary school is that the United States wanted war too, that the United States had been building and planning for war on Japan for decades, had been provoking Japan, had been building air bases and military facilities in Guam and Midway Island and islands around the Pacific and the Aleutian Islands, had been building up toward an aggressive war on Japan, largely for reasons of our own growing desire for empire and economic value of Asia. And we knew that Japan could be provoked. Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt very much wanted Japan to be provoked to attack the United States, which the United States would then be able to use to get into the war in Europe as well. I say use politically, not necessarily legally. So you had sanctions imposed on Japan by the United States, cut off 75% of its trade. You had the United States participating in war on Japan with China, providing airplanes and training, and in the process of providing pilots to bomb Japan. You had all of this going on, and you had knowledge in the Pentagon, in the White House, that an attack on Pearl Harbor was coming, and restraint. They refrained from doing anything. Let it come. Let's make sure they attack first, and then we can get into the war as a defensive war. Because
kind of like the president's daily brief, where there was foreknowledge, or at least in writing, there was foreknowledge that Obama's determined to strike in U.S. I mean, I'm sorry, Osama. Osama determined to strike in the U.S.
Yes. Now we've almost reached a point where people are describing Obama as attacking
the U.S. Yeah,
no,
right. I'm sorry.
But Osama did attack the U.S. Apparently, he hasn't been tried yet, and they have no interest in putting him on trial. He was too
But my point is that was in writing in advance.
Yes, there was the memo, the hand delivered by Condi to W. at the ranch in Texas. They're determined to attack in the United States, and nothing, no response. According to Richard Clark, nobody did anything. And that was what our ambassador in Tokyo was sending frantic messages to Washington. Hey, have you heard? They're going to attack Pearl Harbor if you cross them in any way. There's going to be an attack, you know, and nobody wanted to hear it, or rather, they wanted to let it happen.
Right. 866-99-SIRIUS, 866-997-4748. Quick calls on this. You cite in your piece today that there was a meeting between Churchill and his cabinet at 10 Downing Street, and you compare that to the Downing Street memo of July 23rd between Blair. What happened in the Churchill meeting?
Well, this was a meeting August 18th, 1941, very similar to the 2002 meeting, top British officials talking about U.S. war plans that were secret, in this case for World War II. And Churchill told his cabinet members in this meeting, speaking about Franklin Roosevelt, the president had said he would wage war but not declare it. In addition, everything was to be done to force an incident, meaning anything that could be done to force an incident with Japan that would get the United States into war. Roosevelt had campaigned on "I'll keep you out of war." The public was very against war, had been since World War One. As with 9/11, you know, we weren't going to get our wars in the Middle East without a new Pearl Harbor. We weren't going to get into World War II without the original Pearl Harbor. Here is a clear statement of intent to provoke something to get us in. Churchill and Roosevelt had met on a ship off the coast of Canada and made plans, and within a couple of days put in place economic sanctions against Japan. There was a concerted effort. We already had the draft in place. We already had all the weapons being shipped to Europe, but we weren't in the war all the way, and we couldn't be unless we were attacked first.
So it was on February 5th, 1941, that you have the communique between the U.S. military leadership that there was a possibility of a surprise attack.
Yes, 4 months leading up to December 41. You had communications from the Navy, from the ambassador in Tokyo, and in the weeks and days leading up to the attack, you have documented many sources aware of the Japanese fleet moving east toward Pearl Harbor, and the understanding that that was going to happen. And you have our Secretary of War, as we used to more honestly call them, instead of Secretary of Defense, our Secretary of War's diary about meeting with Roosevelt and him saying that the Japanese would attack Pearl Harbor on December 1st. He was clearly off by 6 days or so, but they knew this was coming.
You know, it's interesting, talking to you, and again, David Swanson with us, folks, War is a Lie, his book, Democrats.com, DavidSwanson.org, 866-99-SIRIUS, 866-997-4748. I'm following you now on Twitter, too, by the way, David. The term, and I've always known that the cabinet position at one time was called Secretary of War.
Yes.
But you just gave a new meaning for me, David.
Well, because
when you say it, when I hear it now, Secretary of War, so I always thought that, you know, it was just an antiquated term and that Secretary of Defense was a little more polite. But now I understand it, because a secretary is supposed to be an advocate of something. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Education, Secretary of State. Operating on your thesis, which I wholeheartedly agree with, the Secretary of War's job was to advocate and do what was necessary to promote that industry.
Absolutely. You read these WikiLeaks cables that seem to suggest that our State Department staff in embassies around the world spend a good deal of their time trying to get other companies to buy weapons from U.S. weapons makers. Their assistant salesmen, they're taking their orders from the CIA and from the Department of War. We just don't call it the Department of War anymore. We call it the Department of Defense. And we have since 1948 or 47, I guess they decided to call it that. The same time, by the way, that George Orwell wrote his book 1984, which explains fairly well why they would make that name change. We think of anything the Pentagon does as defense. We talk about what other countries' militaries do as defense. We just use that word without thinking about what it says to our inner brain that there's something defensive about anything they do, when usually there isn't.
Yeah, indeed. July 24th, 1941, President Roosevelt remarked, "If we cut off the oil, the Japanese probably would have gone down to the Dutch East Indies a year ago, and you would have had a war. It was very essential from our own selfish point of view of defense to prevent a war from starting in the South Pacific. So our foreign policy was trying to stop a war from breaking out there." Reporters noticed that Roosevelt said was rather than is. The next day, Roosevelt issued an executive order freezing Japanese assets. The United States and Britain cut off oil and scrap metal to Japan. I mean, this would drive Japan into the Axis and provoke a war, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not excusing Japan. I'm not suggesting that their attack on Pearl Harbor was defensive and legal and moral and excusable, or suggesting that Japan was not an imperial aggressive state. But we went out of our way to provoke and antagonize and compel Japan to get into a war with the United States. And people can argue and have argued to me today that had we not done that, sooner or later, Japan would have taken over all of Asia and then come and attacked us that much stronger. And those people will say the same thing about Germany. I think it's a very implausible argument, but it is a different argument from the idea that we were innocently biding our time here at home and Japan attacked us out of the blue and we were shocked, which is the usual story.
Now, just to follow the chronology, and clearly there was no WikiLeaks at the time. On November 3rd, folks, you really got to read this piece. And I posted it on our Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/makeitplain, twitter.com/makeitplain. On November 3rd, 1941, our ambassador tried again to get something through his government's thick skull, sending a lengthy telegram to the State Department warning that the economic sanctions might force Japan to commit, quote, national harikiri. He wrote, an armed conflict with the United States may come with dangerous and dramatic suddenness. Apparently, nobody in Washington wanted to hear it in 1941 either. And this is what I mean when I say there was no WikiLeaks around then. On November 15th, Army Chief of Staff George Marshall briefed the media on something we do not remember as the Marshall Plan. In fact, we don't remember it at all. We are preparing, quote, he said, we are preparing an offensive war against Japan, he said, asking the journalists to keep it a secret, which as far as I know, they dutifully did. Amazing. He actually said that.
Absolutely. And you can go through congressional hearings through the 1930s and see discussions of plans for war on Japan and plans for war on various parts of the world. And people will argue, well, it, just in case, we have to plan for wars that may happen. But this was a detailed, lengthy plan for an aggressive war, that is to take the war to Japan. And people will say, oh, well, we better to fight them over there than to let them fight us over here, and so forth. But history suggests that when you don't go out of your way to provoke and attack and get involved in wars, you can stay out of wars. And there's no reason to think that if we had left well enough alone, we couldn't have avoided war.
So the bottom line, David, is that Japan was wrong, but Japan was provoked, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is certainly the case. It's not that there are no innocent parties, really, in World War II, but our nation pretends to innocence, and it's anything but.
And chronologically, the list goes on and on. We can look at the Gulf of Tonkin and Iraq and see other very similar examples.
Oh, in my book, War is a Lie, I don't take it chronologically through all the wars because it would get a little repetitive, but they all, I take it by themes, by the types of lies they tell us, right?
Yeah,
And all of the wars come in, and if you want to look just at the lies that start wars, you can look at each of the world wars, at the Spanish-American War, Vietnam War, at all of the little wars we've had in recent decades, the two wars in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, all of them are started with lies or packages of multiple lies. It's getting to be very repetitive, and yet we still seem to fall for it. A majority of Americans now say we shouldn't have gone into Iraq or Afghanistan, but at the time said, yeah, let's do it. We have to be able, as we've been doing with Iran for years now, we have to be able to say, no, we're against it now before it starts.
Right. And be more critically thinking, more scrutinizing whenever it comes up. You know, clearly I think this is the path that Dr. King was on, and a handful are continue to be on today with respect to Afghanistan and Iraq. I think what you did today with your piece and, of course, with your book is give us an opportunity to do just that, David, to call into question all of these types of conflicts and whenever they surface.
Yeah, and whoever's pushing them on us, you know, we now have a president who went and accepted a peace prize and stood there and said Dr. King was wrong in his peace prize acceptance speech. Well, somebody was wrong. One of those two guys was wrong, and I have opinion about who it was. But we have to get clear that everybody in Washington is pushing wars on us. And we hear how there's going to be gridlock with the Republicans in power, but on wars there just isn't, because the Republicans love wars and the president loves wars. And as long as that's the case, we're going to have to work harder and harder to change course, and people are going to have to come to understand the financial trade-off that we can have these wars or we can have jobs and housing and schools and energy. We can't have both.
Certainly not. Let's get a quick call or two in. Richard's in Kentucky. Richard, God bless you. You're on the air with the author of War is a Lie, David Swanson. Go right ahead.
Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to, first of all, I did not read anything about the comment that you made about the Marsh, the plan to attack Japan. I have studied World War II extensively, but I do want to disagree with the comment that if you plan to stay out of a war, I don't remember exactly how you worded it, that you can successfully avoid a war. Yes, there was what you might call provocation. There was an embargo against Japan regarding oil. And of course, Japan is a very oil and somewhat resource poor nation, and they were at the time. But they had a very aggressive, expansionistic attitude and program, military program. They were overrunning most of China well before December 7th. And they were in various areas of Southeast Asia. I don't remember exactly where. But I disagree that simply saying that we're going to make plans to avoid the war would have kept us out of the war. And I'll go ahead and take your comments off the air.
Well, if you wanted to defend the United States and you were certain that Japan was sooner or later going to build up a massive military and come attack the United States, you could build weapons and bases and fleets and engage in your war games off the coast of the United States. Say 100 miles within the United States. There was no need for us to go building military bases and airstrips all around the Pacific and engaging in war games thousands of miles from our coast and apparently doing everything we could to let the Japanese know that we wanted to control the Pacific and East Asia, which was guaranteed to provoke Japan. That was not necessary, nor was it necessary for us to be selling them jet fuel for their military up until we cut them off, just as we were selling weapons and financing Nazi Germany up until not long before we went to war with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As quiet as it's kept. That's right. Folks, war is a lie. You can keep up with David at Democrats.com. And also at davidswanson.org. Democrats.com is the aggressive, call themselves the aggressive progressives. That's not the DNC, right, David?
No, sadly. It's quite a ways away from them. Yeah.
Now, are you in the leadership of Democrats.com?
I suppose so. My title is Washington Director.
Okay, good. That's what I thought. Well, David, look, man, let's keep in touch. I want to have you on more and more, okay?
Oh, anytime. Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right. Congratulations on the book, man. We'll do more together. Take care. All right, folks. It has been Made Plain.